Okay, welcome to the latest episode of the TJ podcast. I'm talking to a fellow podcaster, Andrew Jacobs, about your podcast, Women Talking About Learning. So this is my first question. Let's set the scene. Tell us a bit about Women Talking About Learning.
Well, firstly, John, thanks for having me on. And I absolutely get the irony that we've got two men here sitting talking about women talking about learning. And this is exactly the situation. So a few years ago, I made a decision that I wasn't going to speak at events unless there was at least an equal split of male and female speakers. And I wasn't going to write, submit to articles for journals, even TJ, for example, appear on podcasts and so on, unless there was an equal split. Because I think it's really important that we have more representation from women. It's very clear that women are underrepresented in senior roles within learning and development. So we have to do something to try and support that. And one way of doing that is to create more women within those spaces. That gives more role models, and women seeing more role models are then more likely to step up themselves. So that was the reason for doing it. That was the reason behind it. But I decided the end of last year, halfway through last year, that I still wasn't hearing enough women's voices. So made the decision to set a podcast up that would just be for women to talk about learning and to promote and give more women more opportunity to be role models for other women.
I mean, this plays quite nicely into my second question, and you've sort of part answered it, but I'm going to sort of dig in. Now, I know you, and I know that you're an ally, and that's why you've done it. But this is possibly a contentious question where some people might say, what's a man doing talking, you know, setting up a podcast for women talking about learning? And I think you've explained the main thrust of why you've done it. But is there any more you can kind of expand on there?
It's a really good question. And it's an entirely valid question. Why should a man take this on? Well, I'm acutely aware that I have privilege. I have privilege by being white, I have privilege by being male, I have privilege by virtue of where I live in the southeast of England, for example. So there's nothing wrong with using my privilege in the right way. And thank you for calling me an ally. I'm not 100% sure as to whether I am or not. It's a label other people give me. But to me, it feels entirely sensible that if I'm in a place where I can help amplify women's voices, then I should be able to do something about it. I was absolutely critical when I put the podcast together. I am the only man that's involved in it. All of the other people who are involved are all women. So all the guests are women, all the topics are suggested by women. Nobody does the editing. I'm the only man involved in the editing. There was no other men involved. So I can feel comfortable that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to keep the male representation as light as possible. Absolutely understanding the paradox that then says, well, why is a man producing it? And it's simply because, like I said, I have privilege, I have access, I have influence potentially to be enable, you know, more people to listen to.
So the way the podcast is set out is kind of like, not like Friends episodes, the one with the so-and-so, but you cover a certain topic, a certain area of underrepresentation or privilege. Have you found in the 20 or so episodes that you've done that there are areas which have kind of affected more women than others? There are, you know, classic areas of the L&D industry where you're seeing these kind of problems that a lot of your guests are talking about.
That's a brilliant question. And what I like is that everybody gets something different from all of the episodes. So yeah, I have favourite episodes. I'm not going to list what they are. I mean, I did a little compilation one a little while ago with, you know, sort of some of my favourite moments. But my favourites aren't necessarily the favourites for other people. Generally, most people have said the imposter syndrome episode was the episode that really switched them onto it. What was different about that one is that rather than being a conversation between two women, which is usually what the podcast is, what we did was get 3-4 minute audio clips from 25 women and stitch them together and turn them into a longer podcast. And that was women talking about what imposter syndrome meant to them. That could have been how they overcame it. That could have been how they felt about it. It could have been, the theory behind it. You know, there was lots and lots of different approaches towards it as to how the women put it together. All I did was literally just turn the fibres into fabric, took those different elements and put them together. But that's where I think there's a really fun dynamic involved. I don't know all the guests. I've got people who I've never met, and most of the guests don't know each other either. And putting them together in a space to talk about a topic, it just becomes really exciting.
It seems to me, I mean, yeah, let's take the imposter syndrome episode. It's quite incredible that you've got all these people to open up so readily about it. I think perhaps that speaks to, well, the way you pulled it all together, for one, but also that this was definitely needed, you know? There needed to be an outlet to talk about these issues that women are facing, do you think?
Absolutely. So what happened was, is I had the idea for the podcast as the Women Talking About Learning podcast in general. First of all, the name came from a woman, my wife. I was umming and ahhing about what to call it, came up with some really cheesy names, and then said to my wife, I don't know what to call this thing. And she said, well, what is it? I said, it's Women Talking About Learning. So she said, call it that. So that's where the name came from. And all the episodes have come from women as well. So when I came up with the idea for it, I just went through all the people I'd been in contact with over the last 7 to 10 days, and just got in touch with all the women who'd interacted with me online and emails and stuff like that, and just pinged messages out to them saying, I'm thinking of doing this, what do you reckon? What would the topics be? And they came back with all the topics. And that's what's really fun about it, is because the imposter syndrome one was just an organic one. Someone suggested imposter syndrome. I've got an admin spreadsheet, which I make available to potential guests. And for imposter syndrome, loads and loads and loads of women put their names down for it. And so I thought, well, obviously we need to do something a bit different with it. The great thing about the space is all I do is hold the space. Actually, what goes in there is by women and for women, maybe for men as well. But all I do is just create the space. That's why I'm saying it's organic, is to see how the podcast moves on. And interestingly, you look at some of the subjects and some of the topics that have been suggested. Imposter syndrome did pique people's interest because there was a gap in there. But what I'm finding is that there were more gaps as I've become engaged more within the learning and development community. I mean, I've got a pretty good network. But as I develop that network even further, there are other topics that women are desperately asking about. We've got a career one coming up, for example, which I hadn't thought would be an important one. But lots of women wanted to hear about it from a career perspective. So that's a new episode that will be coming up in a few weeks' time.
I've got one last question, which is about direction. But before we come to that, my perspective on it was, when I remember you setting it up, was that at kind of a rank and file and line manager level, women are fairly well represented. But at board level, certainly, they're underrepresented. Is that kind of how most people feel about it, or what you see, do you think?
Absolutely, and this is where some of the topics that people are suggesting are really important. So they seem to have moved. So we started talking about things like the video one, brilliant one about how to use video in learning. We had a delivering online one, again another brilliant one. I'm going to say that because Joe, latterly of this parish, was involved in that, Joe Cook. But what's happening is that we're getting more and more range of topics. So the misogyny one was suggested, but we're getting some interesting ones that are more to do with senior management, the prejudice and so on, which are the things that would actually factor an impact against women getting the opportunity to move their way up. And what we've done, I think, is and women more so than men, particularly in the United States, I've noticed as well, the idea of having to be qualified, qualified, qualified to allow yourself to be promoted within an organization or within the learning and development profession seems to be tougher. It seems to be more, a higher expectation, I should say, on women to be qualified in that space. And what we can do with the podcast is actually tell stories of women who have been promoted, women who have worked their way up within organisations, and just to explain how they have got there. And I think that in itself is what's really positive.
I think also maybe there's an element, I'm just throwing this in because I thought of it, maybe to get to topics like discrimination and prejudice, these more serious topics, as it were, you maybe would have had to have put the other ones out first to really get to these kind of more fundamental issues. You know, you're kind of, it's almost like you're uncovering these problems as you're going along. Or am I kind of on the wrong lines there?
No, I think you're right. I think also that there's also a bit of women need to hear women as well. So the first episodes we did, you know, I relied on the guests, the people who I'd interacted with, you know, people who were friends, people who were known to me, because I wanted them to you know, be involved in it. I'm also really aware that I wasn't particularly good at producing, wasn't particularly good at editing them, and they would have some tolerance for me as well. But what they were also is that some of these people were names. You know, Laura Overton did one for me, you know, very early on within the process, and which is great because Laura is, you know, recognising the industry. But when I started then adding other names from other people, what that does is it becomes you know, almost exponential. A woman hears a woman who they've not heard of before, then they tell other women. So there was some online sessions ongoing over the weekend, for example, in a conference that had been organised. Someone came back to me with half a dozen names, said, I've heard these people talking at this event, you really need to invite them on the podcast. And so what that immediately does is just create a bigger space and more opportunity for women. And I think that by having had the conversations about maybe some of the, I don't like using the word simpler, but maybe more transactional kind of activities, we can then have some of the conversations about some of the more complicated and more complex topics. And that's not to say we're not going to go back and revisit some of these topics. You know, we did the misogyny one. And we are going to come back and we will do another one similar to that, I've got no doubt, because there's so much more that can be uncovered from within the different conversations with different people.
So to finish up then, it's a simple question really. Where do you think we are and where do we want to get to? Have you seen, since you started it, or maybe over the last 6 months, 12 months, have you seen a bit of a difference? We're obviously sort of in the latter stages, certainly not over, but we're in the latter stages of an event which has changed the way that we work and the way that we interact. Maybe that's had an impact positively or negatively on opportunities for women, but where do you think we are and where are we trying to get to, do you think?
In terms of the podcast, the great thing is that, you know, for where the podcast has come from, you know, I was hoping that I might have had 500 listens for half a dozen episodes. Like you say, we're 20 odd episodes in, we're up to nearly 5,000 listens, we're in 59 countries around the world. And we've got a host of new episodes about to come out, and you know, I'm expecting that more people will listen to them. So I think that from a podcast perspective, we're in a really good place. In terms of women in learning, I think that's much more problematic. And there's a number of reasons for that. Firstly, because women have found to be much tougher with lockdown. You know, working from home, educating from home, for example. The flexibility in working suits some women more than others. However, there's the higher expectation on higher production doesn't necessarily help women. And the other issue is that we've got lots of women who work in learning and development who work in what I call skill work. So that means, for example, delivering face-to-face. That means not necessarily being able to sit there and work remotely. And women potentially have been more prejudiced against as a result of the nature of how we're expecting people to work. And we just need to be very clear that we don't exclude people as we move on and up and out. Really interesting report from Martha Lane Fox, for example, to Home Affairs Select Committee that was published the other day, absolutely making the point what we can't do is create a digital divide, because women specifically will be more divided as a result.
Well, Andrew, thanks ever so much for your time. Really looking forward to the next few episodes of the podcast. And, well, let's maybe get you back on in 6 months to a year and see, hopefully, a change for the better.
Well, one thing we will be doing is, before the end of this year, we will be doing a men's episode. So what I will be looking for is male listeners to feed back in, and that will be the men one. So we will be doing a special men's episode. So maybe come back after that, perhaps.
Yep, sounds good. Andrew, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.